Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author Nancy Saxton Lopez. This is a program that we do every Thursday from 6 p.m. Eastern to about 6:30. And it is an opportunity for us to share beyond the reach of our book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. This program allows us to engage in a dialogue with the audience. And so that's a lot of what we do. And when I say that, I mean that we share stories that people have written into us about their beloved animal companions, their loss, their healing. Sometimes they're moving on and adopting again. And we welcome your letters. If you'd like to send us a story, we always appreciate that. You can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com and Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. All of this information is in the description, so you can reference it there if I move through it pretty fast. Also, you can suggest guests. You can suggest topics. We have a really interesting guest next week. In fact, her name is Dr. Karen Fine. She's a veterinarian who wrote a New York Times bestselling book called The Other Family Doctor. And it's just a brilliant, wonderful, warm book. And so we're really looking forward to that conversation next week. You can support our program in a number of ways. You can read all the email correspondence that we have with listeners. So our back and forth emails and all of their photographs that they've shared with us by becoming a subscriber to our Substack. And there's a link to that as well. You can give us a donation on Venmo or PayPal, or you can subscribe on Spotify. And also, we'd like you to know that this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dakin has all kinds of programs and resources for human beings and their animal friends. And it is of course a shelter and an adoption center, but they also do things like sponsor a monthly pet loss support group that I facilitate over Zoom. And it is totally cost-free to participants. You can Zoom in from anywhere in the world. And in fact, we have people who Zoom in from all places where you might find English-speaking people. And some way you'd be surprised to find English speaking people. We've had people come in from Saudi Arabia, for example. It is usually on the second, it's always on the second Tuesday of the month. It runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The next one is on April 9th, so this coming Tuesday. And it would be a good idea if you're interested in joining to RSVP using the link that I've attached in the description, because we do cap the attendance. And if you can't make this time because you try to register after it's full, then you can perhaps come to the next one, which is on May 14th. Please consider subscribing on YouTube. This is really helpful for the visibility of the program. It helps more people to find it when they're looking for pet loss support resources. So if you could do that, we would certainly appreciate it. And also, if you can like the program where you see it, maybe write a review, all of that helps to bring the program into the reach of people who may benefit and maybe don't know about it yet. And so one last point, we'd like you to know that we have an affiliation with a business that's called Bereave. Bereave makes these really beautifully crafted granite memorial plaques where you can have engraved the image of your beloved pet and any language that you'd like there. As you see in this image, it can be great outside at a place that is either a grave marking or a memorial garden or what have you, inside in a place where you keep mementos. And Nancy actually has the example.
Yeah, it's a little hard now because of the light. You know, we have light now, right? I have windows in front of me. But there's Bale.
It's really a really beautiful piece.
It really is. Yep.
And if you were to purchase that, you would also be giving some measure of support to us as well. Nancy, you want to get us started?
Yes. We have two stories tonight. They're all so wonderful stories. And they're very sad, but they're very enlightening. And, you know, it really talks to the human-animal bond that we have, right, with our babies. We're going to start with, and please, Ken and I, or Ken looked up the pronunciation of this name, so we hope it's right. Ulysses, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
And we hope so.
And sorry, Ulysses, if we got it wrong, we tried.
Right. But he wrote in about his Camilo. And so I'm going to start there because there's a lot of good pictures with this, with his beautiful little Shih Tzu. This is Camilo. I gave him to my wife 2 months after we got married back in 2017. My sister gave me the contact information of the girl who had him. And once I saw this very first picture as a baby, I knew he was for us. He was born today, 7 years ago, March 26th, 2017, just 6 days after our wedding. So I felt like it was God's gift. Since I lived in Mexico City and my wife north in Monterey, which is also in Mexico back then, I flew on June 2017, took an Uber, and once I had our new baby in my hands, I asked my wife to pick me up. Without her knowing, it was a surprise. When she saw our baby dog, she started crying. She named him Camilo. He was a Shih Tzu. And since the very first days, we realized he was so special in our lives. He ate very slowly, a different behavior from many other Shih Tzus. He was very calm and sleepy, but also full of energy and enthusiasm when chasing our ankles or his green dinosaurs, his favorite toy, throughout the first months of his life. I went back to Mexico City to finish studying while my wife kept him in Monterey where she worked. We met once a month, and I was so anxious to see him again every time I left them. My wife sent me tons of pictures and videos of him. Since the first days, we knew he was our whole world. When I was back and we went out to the movies or supermarkets, we were so desperate, wondering how he was feeling and wanted to see him again, even though it was just a couple hours. We basically took him everywhere he was allowed. And when we had to leave him home, we kept asking my mother-in-law about him. We were completely in love with this new member of our small family. I always had big dogs when I was young and used to say I didn't like small ones. I never thought I'd get in love with him. I said to my family, it was too surprising for me. How I got such a strong bond with him. Months passed and my wife and I went to Italy for an internship. So I asked my dad to take care of him in early 2018. When we came back, my wife and Camilo moved with me to Mexico City. So we spent a full month together. She took him out while I was studying. And then the three of us went to restaurants, parks, and supermarkets. He was always next to us. We slept all together and we were so happy and complete at that time. In March of 2018, I got a job in my hometown, Saltillo, very near Monterey. So we moved, and a couple of weeks later, we realized we were pregnant. My wife stayed in Monterey to keep her job in order to have full health insurance for the birth of our girl, and Camilo stayed with me during weekdays. I believe those months strengthened the bond between him and I. The fact of sleeping next to me, seeing him every morning, taking him out to the park every afternoon, increased the love we had, and we both became more dependent on each other. I remember joking with my family about taking him with me to the hospital, my job. I used to sit him on my lap when I was working from home, and every time I had to leave, I wished he could come. Our first baby girl was born in November of 2018, and Camilo got along with her. As months went by, we made a nice routine of going to the park every afternoon. The four of us, we were small but a strong team. Since I didn't have too much work back then, we enjoyed big walks almost every day before sunset. There are plenty of pictures and videos from those beautiful days. In 2019, we got pregnant again, and our little girl was born in the middle of the pandemic in June of 2020. Camilla was her name, not because of our dog, believe me, but we really liked that name, and my wife made me change our dog's name to Milo, name that he immediately accepted. Now we were five, going to the park every time we could. The next few months, my wife started to pull Milo away. I think she was prioritizing our children, even though I saw him as our very first child. The fact my wife kept him further than before made Milo super dependent on me. It was incredible how he jumped when I got home. I was in charge of him basically in every need he had. I chose his food, vaccines, veterinary visits, walks. I kind of regret this. First, I should have listened to someone else's opinion. 3 years ago, I started buying him adult food. Best quality, I read on the internet, but maybe not for small breeds. And I didn't realize it was causing him recurrent digestive problems. And secondly, I think I should have shared the love he gave me with my wife also. Years passed, Christmases, Halloweens, holidays, all of them full of costumes and laughs and memories. In September 2021, our last baby boy arrived, Joaquin. My wife was full of joy since she wanted a little man in her family. Now we were truly complete. Milo stayed by my side every time he could. Time went by. My work increased gradually. We moved to our new home. Everything looked so perfect.
My wife and I realized he was part of our soul and my heart, dog. We were so connected to each other. I remember one night I got a stomach ache and a terrible headache. I went to the bathroom and started vomiting. Suddenly, Milo came running at full speed from downstairs all the way up to the bathroom, fighting so desperately against the door, pushing it and crying and barking so loud, trying to get inside and see me. My wife and I looked at each other and we were so surprised how he knew I was having a bad time. Our bond was incredible. In September of 2023, on a routine walk, I noticed he was struggling with peeing. He couldn't do it normally and stayed there for about a minute. So I got worried and took him to the vet. This is the hardest part of the story and the one that I regret the most. I took him to the best veterinary hospital in town the next few days, got there and asked for an outpatient consultation, but the doctor was in an emergency. So I waited about 40 minutes, got desperate and left. That's the biggest and hardest regret I have. The vet called me back apologizing about the waiting time and offered to do an ultrasound right away. I accepted, but my ego didn't. So I was already heading to another veterinarian office, and I didn't go back. The new vet said it was maybe a urinary tract infection or small stones given the x-rays and gave him treatment, but he didn't improve at all. I asked about an ultrasound, but she told me it wasn't necessary. 1 week later, he was peeing normally, so I got confident that maybe it was nothing and didn't take him back to the vet again. On November 4th, 2023, one day after my 38th birthday, he looked awful. He was vomiting so much and didn't look well at all. Since he had this digestive issue with previous food, we thought he had eaten something from last night's birthday party and got sick. However, when I got back home that night, I worried a lot since he was literally not moving in the grass where he didn't used to be. I took him to the first hospital I told you about where I refused the ultrasound back in September, and the vet on call immediately diagnosed a urinary obstruction, putting him in a urine catheter, and he improved immediately. He took urine samples, and since it was Saturday night, he asked me to take him back on Monday morning for the ultrasound. Months before, my wife and I had planned a surprise trip to Disney to celebrate my daughter's fifth birthday. Our flight is scheduled next Tuesday. So on Monday morning, I took Milo to the ultrasound and the vet diagnosed him with prostate enlargement and immediately offered to neuter him. I was in shock since I wanted to have a son from him, even though he had puppies before. We didn't keep any of them and stupidly asked the doctor to wait and stabilize him in order to see options like medication. And since we were leaving town the next day, it was so hard for me to decide about a surgery that we wouldn't be there when we wouldn't be there with him. That's another reason I regret not giving my wife more power to decide with me what to do. So the doctor agreed and said once he got better, he'd discharge him home. That afternoon, before getting to my job, I rushed to the vet hospital and asked the doctor to be with Milo. Once he saw me, he started to jump and cry. He was so desperate to escape with me. I could feel it so strongly. I pet him and took a last picture of him with my cell phone. The doctor said he was improving and could discharge him in approximately 2 days. When I left, I remember my eyes filled with tears and immediately put my sunglasses on. That was the last time I saw him. We flew the next morning and my brother visited him at the hospital when he was recovering. I asked my sister to pick Milo up the next day. Once he had recovered completely, and she left him with Issa, the girl who helps us with the kids at our home. We were in Disney by that time already, so I couldn't check on him so often. The next morning, his health completely deteriorated, and he couldn't pee anymore. My sister and I thought we should wait a little bit since he was eating okay, but as hours went by, he started to deteriorate again. That night, I rushed Issa to take him, back to the vet around 9 p.m., and unfortunately, the doctor on shift didn't want to admit Milo, saying his behavior was kind of normal. I guess she just jailed him and gave him pain reliever meds, but didn't put in a urinary catheter in order to pee as she was afraid she could hurt him. The next day was the day I realized things were really bad. His attending called me around 9 a.m. and told me he had signs of kidney inflammation and infection and that his glucose was very low. They stabilized him and improved throughout the day, but my brother sent us a video and he looked so bad, lying down like I'd never seen him before, so weak, so fragile. I asked the doctor that once he stabilized him, that he had our permission to neuter him in order to improve his prostate inflammation. Next day, my sister called me and said Milo was doing much better than the day before. She sent a couple of videos. He looked so calm. He moved his tail just a little bit, but didn't react the way he used to. I was kind of comfortable with the good news from the doctor. The fact his vital signs were a little bit better and his mood improved over the last hours was reassuring for all of us. I was so happy to hear that. However, that night I got a call, the call no one wants to have. It was from the hospital. He was not able to control his sphincters and he started to bleed from his digestive tract. As I write this down, my eyes start to fill with tears and my heart hurts so much once again. The doctor on shift asked if I could go and spend the last moments with him. We were still in San Diego, and around 3 a.m., I immediately changed my flight to that morning. But 1 hour later, I got the final call. He had passed away alone in the hospital on November 12th, around 4 a.m. My sister couldn't get there on time. He passed away alone without me, his best friend. He died so lonely, without a hug, without the one who always took care of him since he was a puppy. I still feel so bad for leaving him alone in the most critical days of his life. And I regret so much that the trip that we did for our big girl that turned out to be a nightmare for me. Disney was not the happiest place for me anymore. When I look back at the videos my sister sent me of Camillo, I know he was calm because he was ready to leave. He knew it was the end and he was in peace, waiting for God to get him. The way back home was just tears. I couldn't believe what had just happened. I couldn't understand why he left us so quickly. He was just 6 years old and a whole life of love in front of him and next to us. I always had plans for him. Why did someone who was my soul dog and my best friend and a gift from God after getting married pass away alone without me next to him? We were all devastated, my wife, my mom, and I. The kiddos just didn't understand what was happening. They were 2, 3, and 5 by that time. We left home so happy and full of joy and came back home incomplete and with our hearts broken. We received his ashes the day we got home and made him a goodbye letter that I read out loud next to my wife in one of the parks we used to take him. Since that day, I don't recall ever having felt this way in my whole life. He was the best thing that happened to us as a family. And I just know a part of my soul died with him on November the 12th. These last 4 months have been the hardest to go through. I come home and he's not there anymore, looking through the door, waiting for me to take a walk. My eyes keep getting blurry and fill up with tears every day. We made him a beautiful altar at the living room where I pray for him every night, wishing I can see him again in my dreams. To honor his life, I'm creating a digital album, which contains more than 1,000 photos and videos, and ordered a couple of drawings with a friend of my wife. When I recall the last time that I saw him at the vet when he jumped and he wanted to escape with me, my eyes keep filling with tears because I think he knew it would be the last time we'd see each other. A lot of people say, well, things are going to improve, but being next to him for 6 whole years make it impossible not to grieve and cry every time I come home and his deep black eyes are not anymore looking through the front door. I have 3 beautiful kids and believe me, I feel like a 4th one, even not human, was stolen from my life. I don't know why I've tried to reach the girl who gave me Camilla back in June 2017, maybe to let her know he was the best thing that happened to us and close the cycle we created, or maybe to ask her if there are any members of his family alive. But I just can't find her contact through social media. In fact, I went to her home in Monterey, but she wasn't living there anymore. Before his death, I've never experienced such a strong feeling. This is all new to me. I didn't know what it was like to grieve and cry and miss his absence so much and to feel such a huge void in my soul. Even though I've lost all my grandparents and a loved godfather, the pain and struggle was not even close. It's literally like losing my best friend, my son. Even though it feels so hard not being able to hug him and embrace him, the fact of crying once or twice a day by remembering all those beautiful memories, or just by missing him so deeply, helps relieve my heart in a way nothing else would do, with less burden over my chest. I want to thank you both for helping me navigate through the hardest time of my life, and appreciate the way you have given me and many others so much advice and answered me lots of questions I had at the beginning where I was completely lost. I'm sorry for such a huge letter, but I wanted to make you understand the meaning he had in my life. I just want to also say that there were so many photos.
Yes, beautiful photos.
We put his letter with the photos on the Substack, and it's open. You don't need to have the subscription to see them, because we just wanted
they're beautiful pictures.
All that he sent us, and kind of give an example of some of the beautiful photos that we're getting. So, boy.
So Ulysses in his. It's so common, even though people think that this is so bizarre, that he is grieving more for Milo than he did for his human family. Right?
Oh, it happens all the time.
And people would come into the group and they would literally think that they were crazy, right? Yeah. That they would say, they would whisper it, right? And they say, I think I'm crazy. And we'd always ask, why do you think that? Because I've grieved more than my parents, my siblings, my partners. And we'd say, yeah, the relationship is completely different. These animals get woven into the tapestry of our lives. They become part of who we are. And this little Milo was a soulmate. He was a heart dog. And so, I mean, it's understandable that he would be so upset because he wasn't there.
Yeah, and happens all the time because life is complicated. Yeah. You can't time these things. Who would have thought that he would be in such a desperate health crisis at the age of 6?
It's
not
right.
Something you would expect. And he and his wife were giving Milo the best care
Absolutely.
That they could find. And they had other people who were checking in on him when they weren't able to. And it sometimes these things just happen when they happen. And there's you would not predict it. You would not predict it. But he articulates so thoroughly how intimate his connection was with Milo. And that's we think why it hurts so much, because
of course
they're with you all the time. They're part of your daily life. They're always happy to see you. It's very uncomplicated. It's just this pure, simple love.
Pure love.
Yeah. And so we really appreciate Ulysses, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly. We appreciate this story. We appreciate the correspondence. It's been really heart filling to have this connection with him. We've had a bit of back and forth in
yes.
terms of correspondence and so many beautiful pictures. So we thank you so much for that.
Yeah, I mean, he was Milo's dad. That's the easiest, right? And I know that you feel guilty right now. Milo loved you and doesn't hold any judgment or malice. And, you know, even if you weren't there with him, you know, and it's going to be hard. It is hard not to have them present, right? Not that you can touch him and hold him and kiss him, but he is there in spirit with you.
Yeah. Let's just share it. There's a couple of comments. Prudence says, the way you speak about our lost animals validates them so fully and makes me feel as real as we feel them to be, as important as any human being. It's helping me through my sweet backstory.
Oh, so we're sorry. And
Alyssa says, there's really no easy way to say goodbye. My soul dog passed in my arms. It was all so hard. Very important point.
Yes.
No matter how they leave, it's really painful. If you're with them or if you're not
with them, it's traumatizing. It's just, you know, calm and sweet. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, there are different nuances with it, but it's the same thing. I mean, we grieve.
So much grief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have a note from Melly. And this one is short, but it's also it's very raw, kind of, you know, some painful, you know, comments. Hello, Mr. Ken. I hope this email finds you well. I'm not usually open with my feelings, especially to strangers, but I happen to come across your guys' YouTube channel via Reddit while searching for people who might understand what I'm going through. Feel free to share my story, but please. Oh, she wants to be Melly. That's all. Okay. I lost my pet cat to stomach cancer. He was and still is everything to me. I had to euthanize him, though it felt wrong because I felt like I shouldn't interfere with his life choices. But seeing him in pain, silent and still, broke my heart. I put him down on December 22nd, 2023. And I'm still grieving. I can't move on. He meant everything to me. I'm already diagnosed with depression and suicidal thoughts and anxiety, and this loss has only made it worse. I have a tendency to dwell in the past when bad things happen, disconnecting from the present. I struggle to think about the future, fearing more suffering and pain. My life used to be simple with great support from teachers, memorable moments with friends, and an enjoyable last 2 years of school. But now in college, I have no friends, and I'm struggling with cold and unhelpful professors. Despite my passion for my major, it's challenging. I even failed an exam while grieving my cat, which only adds to my feelings of stupidity and misery. I'm angry at myself for failing the exam and for being emotionally weak. Oh my God, we have to talk to you, Melly. I'm angry at my cat for leaving me alone to deal with his grief. I don't know how to move forward. I'm young, and I know people will judge me for not moving on from my grief. No, hopefully not, but I can't. I can't find joy in small things anymore. I feel so alone and broken. He was my constant companion through everything. I apologize for the lengthy email, but I hope you can offer some guidance through this immense grief, and I wish you a good evening. All right. So there's a lot in this short.
There's a lot. And we've written, obviously we've written off to her suggestions.
Yes. Because especially, and we've had quite a few of these. Look, there's many people in the world that suffer with some kind of degree of emotional issues, right? Yep. We all can feel depressed at times. We all have anxiety at times. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people have more of that. They may have an actual diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And when we lose these emotionally support animals, right? Of course, it could complicate that. And we're hoping that Melly does have someone to talk to and to be with.
It sounds like she has treatment providers, and that's one of the things we emphasize, that, or she's getting connected with treatment providers. And one of the things that I said to her was, if you are so debilitated by your grief and the overlay of depression and anxiety, you may very well want to talk with treatment providers about taking a bit of an absence from school, because if you can't, when we're so encumbered by depression, we really can't think very well.
Right.
And it's not your fault. It's what happens. It's what happens. I mean, grief tears apart our ability to concentrate and keep our thoughts focused and keep our short-term memory intact. But when you are struggling with grief on top of what she's describing, you deserve to have whatever sort of care and support
you can get.
Perhaps a bit of a hiatus from things that are really all about those faculties, the reading and integrating information and remembering. And so I hope that she is really doing what's necessary to support herself. Yeah, because what people do and what Melly talks about doing, and it's so much what people who want to be conscientious and want to do what they're committed to doing will say. They'll blame themselves.
That's right.
God, I'm stupid. I'm weak. And that's
not
weak.
And you're not.
That's not accurate. That's not what's going on here. She's having a very hard time with her grief, her depression, her anxiety. By the way, as you said, depression, anxiety is the largest cause of disability. It is the most prominent cause of disability in the world, in the U.S. and everywhere else. It is a pandemic. And so one of the first things we want to say to her is no, don't layer judgment on top of all
of what
you're dealing with. My God, the fact that you're able to write this letter.
That's right.
And that you're in school right now speaks to extraordinary strength, but you deserve all the care, all the support, all the peace you can possibly have, because you're really in a hard, hard place.
That's right. And also, everybody grieves differently, and we grieve and we grieve for a while. And we hope that no one says, stop, what are you doing? Well, people do, and you don't want them in your life, right?
Yeah, if somebody judges you harshly, you need to take a break from them.
That's right. And honey, you're not stupid. And I understand that you feel like you're weak. You are not weak.
Well, even another thing that's part of her story is she felt very connected, very engaged when she was in school before she went to college. So when you go to college, it is very often the case for many people that is a significant loss.
Yes.
You know, you lose this whole cocoon of support,
connection,
community, and friends. And now, so she has that
all over.
Then she lost her cat, and she's prone, as so many people are, to having the diagnoses that she mentioned. So there's a lot going on here. And I keep coming back to the idea that when we are in this kind of distress, we deserve all the help that we can possibly engage with. And that's what I want to leave her with is you know, thank you for communicating with us. We're sending you.
It was very courageous to be so honest. Right.
But we also want you to get the help that will bolster you through this, so that when your grief is subsiding and your anxiety and depression are subsiding, you'll be able to have all that you deserve in life. But right now you need to take care of yourself.
And as she said, Guy, grief comes in waves. It ebbs and flows. Right now it's really significant. It's tough. The waves are very intense, and they're close together. After a while, they're further apart, and they're not as intense.
Yeah.
But they could spike again. But you can get through this with help, and you can get through this by just putting one foot in front of the other and trying to take care of yourself the best way you can.
Yep. And we have another comment from Alyssa. Thanks, Alyssa, for your comment. She says, hi, Melly. You're part of this community now. Ken and Nancy are very comforting. I listen to their podcast when I feel sad, which is now every day. I hope you see the light. So thanks for that soothing comment. And we'll say goodbye for now.
Thank you, Alyssa. And
Ulysses, I think.
Oh, my God. Milo's dad. Okay, but thank you both very much for allowing us to share your stories.
Yes, and well, and if you're listening to this, if it's helpful, please do consider subscribing on YouTube. That would be good for helping other people gain access to the program.
Yeah. Take care, everyone. Thanks.